True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
11 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. We are back at Community America Credit Union. They're branch off 29 and 152 in the Tiffany Springs Market Center. Casey Moe, the tailgate is officially underway. People are lining up to get a shot at that big ATM here, which means a chance at some swag, but also a chance at some Chiefs and Eagles tickets. The tailgate goes till 1 o'clock, and still the free food to the first 100 people, so still time to get out here and take advantage. They've got the awesome food truck, the Corn Dog Company, hanging out as well. I don't know if you caught it right as we were coming back from break as well. We've got Chiefs Rumble out here. Chiefs cheerleaders just showed up, along with Casey Wolf. Cody was trying to figure out which Wolf. It's the original. It's the OG, man. They weren't going to have the what was the one?
I thought maybe they were rolling out the new international
one. What was the one? Casey O'Wolf, the Ireland one?
Oh, yeah, Casey O'Wolf.
Yes. That one's not here. We're not in Ireland. That one's not here.
Just the
OG. All right, let's talk some Chiefs football with Joshua Briscoe. He, of course, will be on pre- and post-game coverage right here on the Chiefs Radio Network and on 96.5. The Fan. Briscoe, I was giving you a hard time earlier. I said, we can't let you drop to 0-2, man. We can't let you go two games under 500.
Hey, I appreciate you not counting the preseason, because if you want to go ahead and put those in my official scoring column, it's even worse.
Are the Chiefs ever going to win a game again, Josh? I mean, people are asking. They've now lost, including, this would be the first time ever in Patrick Mahomes' career they've lost three games in a row. Now, we can set aside for a minute that's ludicrous, and that no other quarterback on the planet is held to the standard of the idea that they can never lose three games in a row. But, I mean, it does – that's a weird feeling. This is a weird place for Chiefs fans.
Well, and the thing that I've already accepted, maybe this has given me some zen, and it's crazy. I'm like, hey, guys, they could lose a lot more games, and it still would be fine. But I really did do this kind of going through the schedule and thinking, well, they could legitimately – just I won't go game by game, but you can look at the schedule, and you can probably fill in the blanks here. They could be 4-5. They could be below 500 halfway through the season and end the season 12-5. Like, the back half of the schedule is a little bit softer, and you presume you've got Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy. Obviously, Worthy's timeline looks good after practicing yesterday, but I could see this team. Also, when you think about where the issues were defensively, where, like, Jaden Hicks looks out of sorts. It's his first game in his second year. Like, I really do think there will be things that are significantly and obviously better on both sides of the ball halfway through the season. So it would not be any fun at all to start this season off 0-2. I don't think it's a foregone conclusion for what that's worth. And you don't want to be going to New York for the Giants on Sunday Night Football saying, okay, well, this is a must-win game against Russell Wilson's squad. But I really do have a little bit of zen for now. I think I've learned the lessons of recent Chiefs years, and specifically what's gone wrong so far, I think is relatively obvious. The pass rush to me is the one thing that I'm probably going to be concerned about all the way until hopefully February.
Let's get one thing out of the way, just beginning, because I know people are probably thinking it today. Briscoe, you see Worthy practice yesterday, limited in practice. It's obviously a great sign that this is not going to be probably a month-plus long injury like everybody was fearful of. But there's no way he's playing Sunday, right?
Truthfully, I don't know any more than you do. So I would be pretty surprised if he played. running around on the field in practice is very, very different than getting hit, getting tackled, falling on that shoulder. So I'd still be pretty surprised. And our mutual friend Nate Taylor made it sound like next week against the Giants is probably the most likely landing spot for Worthy's return, which would already be great. I was really concerned about a much longer absence, you know, the moment he got hurt and in kind of the couple days following. So it's a great sign that he's out there. It also, to me, indicates that he's not in that kind of like no man's land between surgery and bracing it up, because that's scary, because you just don't know which direction that's going to ultimately send you. But I think you have to feel good about Worthy, and I would assume that he's not on the field on Sunday against the Eagles.
What would you say? So, like, you know, it's easy to point out all the things they did wrong. The pass rush, the secondary, the lack of coverage skill, et cetera, right? The list was pretty lengthy for that game last Friday. Those final five possessions for the Chiefs offensively that they scored, what did you see in those that you think is repeatable, right? Mm-hmm. Because they did score in their final five possessions, which I think is a little bit lost because they were so far behind for so long in that game. But what did you see there that they can repeat?
The most obvious thing that they did there was Patrick Mahomes. Like, the end of sentence,
he
end
exists.
Of evaluation, he's there, and he did the thing that we see him do all the time down the stretch. We see it in the playoffs where he looks around and he goes, well, I might as well run for 12 yards here. And he just, it's like a bag he's able to access. It feels like at the drop of a hat. You don't want to have to do that outside of the structure of the offense starting in week one. The couple of things in the passing game that I do think are repeatable are something that we could see continue even without Xavier Worthy. Tyquan Thornton was getting open, and he wasn't just getting open way late in the play. He wasn't just open on the target that Mahomes had and then the one that was a little bit out of sync. There were several times where I think Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and Matt Nagy probably looked at the tape this week and went, okay. No, I mean, Tyquan was there several times. I don't need him to have, you know, eight targets just constantly chucking deep balls like I do playing college football on the PlayStation. But I do think that has to be a part of the offense that continues, that then does allow such a huge difference from the first couple targets for Hollywood Brown to the back half of the game. That's another sustainable thing, I think, where early on it was ugly. Like, I was afraid, thinking, oh man, Hollywood hasn't played a lot of football. You know, obviously, He missed the preseason. Is this going to be a rust situation, or are we on, like, washed watch here? And then ultimately, he has a much better second half, and I think you can point to his drop and him getting to the wrong spot by a little bit than where Mahomes expected him to be. You can point at those and say, yeah, that's a guy that was just getting his first live action in 7 months. So I think that the Thornton-Hollywood-Juju kind of combo, where they have different roles at different levels in the offense, I do think that's something that the Chiefs can get by with for a little while. The running game just, like, not existing against the Chargers is the offensive thing that I kind of keep my eyebrows raised at, because they got to get something on the ground.
We're talking to Josh Briscoe, pre- and post-game host on the Chiefs Radio Network. You'll hear him this Sunday afternoon right here on 96.5 The Fan. With the offense now having a whole week to know that they know one way or the other whether they're having Worthy or not, even if we don't for sure, so versus having a player drop out three plays in and having to alter your entire game plan, do you think we're just going to see more of, you know, the Noah Gray, Robert Tonyan, just more of these tight end sets? And Cody and I have been talking about, it feels like Noah Gray could have, you know, five targets in this game.
Yeah, it does, and I still kind of don't expect it, because I have expected that before. I have expected, like, okay, well, it makes sense here. Maybe you could solve a few issues at the same time by going a little more heavy and running, like, again, like, just having Tonyan involved. He looked really good in the preseason. Clearly they liked him enough to keep him around. Can you do something with two or three tight ends to kind of change the math on the defense a little bit, where if you end up going heavy defensively, then all right, we'll throw the ball to the tight ends. If you end up going light and respecting those tight ends as pass catchers, time to run the ball right at those guys, right behind Robert Tonyan or whoever ends up being out there. So I think that by necessity, you'd like to see the water rise for pretty much everybody. Nobody's going to get six or seven extra targets, I don't think, because Worthy is out, which I think Hollywood kind of did in week one. He's like, all right, man, you got to step in here. We have a game plan. We're just going to have to do it without the guy who was at the center of it in terms of the weapons. I would love to see them run a little more heavy, run a little more under center, give Isaiah Pacheco a few more cracks that way, while also continuing to have the offense built around the deep and intermediate passing game. if Noah Gray can be a guy that's helping you move the chains and you're hitting for some 6, 7, 8 yard gains here and there, I'm totally good with it. That seems like a role that he's really excelled in. But as a Noah Gray appreciator, every time it kind of seems like, oh, maybe his role is going to take a step up here. I don't know that it has, at least not statistically. He does a ton for the offense without getting a ton of those targets. So I will keep my eyes open on that. I really do think Noah Gray is a very valuable part of the offense, but I think if week one is any indication, at least, I think Hollywood, Juju, and Thornton, probably in that order, are the guys who are kind of under the biggest spotlight offensively.
Were Monday's comments from Andy Reid, were those pretty telling about where Christian Fulton is and how long it should be until we expect Shamari Conner to not be playing corner anymore?
Well, so I'm going to go to what Spags said yesterday, because he was asked about Fulton and getting him involved in everything. And Spags said something like, well, you know, it's a long season. You got to have 3, 4, 5 corners, which is the kind of thing that he said about Nazi Johnson and Joshua Williams. And you, when you just have to have depth at the position, he's right about that. But it did kind of put Fulton in that category as like, no, he's a depth guy who we'll have to rely on at some point. Like, it could have been a question about Noel Williams, right? So yeah, he's young, but we'll need to rely on him at some point. That's probably true. But they paid Christian Fulton to come in and be a number two corner on this team. Or, you know, if he's 3 behind Jalen Watson, that doesn't matter to me at all. Trent McDuffie is 1, and then Watson and Fulton, whatever the role is, that's great. But with the Shamari Conner thing in mind and all the Chiefs' issues over the middle of the field and covering the slot, to me, it seems like the most clear and obvious lever to pull, which isn't always the right one, I suppose, but the most clear and obvious lever to pull for me is you get Christian Fulton on the field 60%+ of the time. He and Watson are your outside corners. McDuffie goes into the slot, and then maybe Shamari Conner can do some more safety things that takes a little bit off of Jaden Hicks' plate after a rough game. Maybe you just give Conner a few plays off because we saw what happened against the Chargers. So Brian Cook's role could evolve a little bit. I know Spags loves the hard-hitting, versatile defensive backs, and that's served him very well. But yeah, I'd like to see a lot more Christian Fulton pretty soon. I think this Eagles team honestly ends up being a pretty good matchup for him and Watson to get more involved.
We can genuinely call this nitpicking because I understand just how good Steve Spagnuolo is at the job, how great he's been at the job, all the stuff that comes with it. My single biggest gripe with him the entire time he's been in Kansas City is an absolute refusal to occasionally play the more athletic player over the player who knows the defense more. I call this the Dan Sorensen triangle.
Yep.
And what I genuinely, like, sometimes I'm just like, no, play the better player, as in the more athletic player, because I feel like if you make more mistakes in the field, sometimes you can make up for it with athleticism or just savviness, whatever it is, right, versus the guy who knows where he's supposed to be. We run into this, I feel like, with one or two players a year where I'm like, why aren't you playing that guy more? And it seems to come down, Briscoe, to the guy who knows the defense better, and they can't shake that.
Right, so that, I'm with you, which is exactly what makes the Shamari Conner thing kind of crazy, because he is the best athlete. He is the guy that's flying around and, you know, make a mistake, but make it fast. That's the Shamari Conner experience a lot of the times, and Jaden Hicks, again, is getting a little baptism by fire after being really good the back half of last season. He's a guy where you're like, I think Spags is trusting that he knows the defense, but he's still very young in it. So that I am completely with you on what Spags' track record has been. It feels like we're seeing the opposite of that right now. Again, it's very, very early. We're 1 week into this thing, and I think giving Hicks the lumps to be a more confident player in the back half of the year is probably right. But then, yes, with Fulton, I know he wasn't out there in camp, and so maybe he didn't get all of the things that Spags wanted him to get. Maybe he just didn't get to put it down on reps on the field in a way that has Spags a little bit more gun-shy and saying, I will prefer to just leave Conner out there and shuffle things around that way. But I remember talking all offseason about how much I liked the Christian Fulton signing because it allowed you to put Trent McDuffie back at the spot where he is not only at his best, but where he is the most powerful weapon, where he can do so many things out of the slot there. So I really am a little bit curious still. Maybe in a week or two, this is a foregone conclusion and Fulton's back to the workload that his contract and his offseason standing would put him in at. But right now, it's quite strange.
We're talking to Josh Briscoe here on 96.5 The Fan. We all know the comments yesterday from Matt Nagy certainly went around the water cooler, if you will, a little bit. We led our show talking about him saying in regards to the penalties for Juwan Taylor that, quote, that can't happen. We've made it loud and clear. And I think a lot of people said, well, he's been with the team since 2023. Why? What's the consequence going to be if you've made it loud and clear? I was telling Cody, and I think he kind of agreed, and it seems pretty simple. They have a legit backup this go-around, and it's also probably the last year. So what's the leash look like? If Juwan Taylor has another performance penalty-wise like he had against the Eagles, is that it? Or do you think Andy Reid, it's still a veteran here that they're going to give him 2-3-plus weeks?
Again, I think what happens is probably a little bit different from where I'm at right now, but I would think he's going to get a longer leash than Kingsley last year. But to your point there, this isn't a new phenomenon with Juwan Taylor. I think the Chiefs did the right thing by kind of standing by him as much as they did through the alignment and false start stuff, because some of that was week one nitpicky that kind of snowballed throughout the season. And I feel like, honestly, that got blown out of proportion a little bit. The penalties were bad, but like having them called is bad, but I think the actual process there was blown out of proportion. And he was also playing better football then go to last year when, yeah, of course, the penalties are still a problem, but I can absolutely promise everybody, benching Juwan Taylor would not have helped the offensive line last year. Like, we know the tackle issues that they already had, so that just wasn't really on the table. Now we get to a point where it's week one of a new season, and I know he's also, you know, had whatever's going on with his knee, and maybe that's hampering his actual play. But it's week one of the season. It was not a good game for him, I would think, without the penalties. And it's like holding is now getting in the mix, and he remains this incredibly highly penalized player. And Jalen Moore is right there, who got paid an amount of money that told you, before obviously drafting Josh Simmons, that the Chiefs were comfortable with Jalen Moore being their starting left tackle this year, if that's how it shook out. So presumably they'd be fine with him as your starting right tackle. And almost all of training camp and all of the preseason, Jalen Moore was working in at right tackle. He wasn't working at right tackle and left guard. He wasn't working at right and left tackle. It was about getting him into the flow on the right side as Taylor was coming back from the knee, and maybe the Chiefs just thought that's the most likely injury spot, or we want to have a real contingency plan if the penalties and the play become issues for Taylor. Like you said, this is his last year in Kansas City in all likelihood. Jalen Moore's got a 2-year deal where if he's your starting right tackle next year, I think that's perfectly fine with him and Josh Simmons on the bookends. I think the ingredients are there for a change that they weren't in recent years. I would still guess it's going to be a little bit before that ends up making it to the starting lineup, but I think it's a lot more plausible than it has been.
Briscoe, before we let you get out of here, we're obviously here at Community America for a Red Friday tailgate. What is your new favorite KC Wolf of the international ones? I see the real one here. Which one do you like the best of the international KC Wolves?
Is there more than I saw the Irish one. Are there more?
Dude, there's like five or six of them.
Oh my, this is like, I didn't know that KC Wolf had like Pokemon regional forms now. This is the best day of my life. I thought it was awesome that there was an Irish KC Wolf that appeared to be like just a ginger KC Wolf. I was like, oh, okay, that's... Uh-huh. I didn't know what we were doing there.
There's one for Germany and all kinds of places. You're going to have to research this so we have an answer next week.
I'm going to have an answer right now. I'm looking at it. Oh, my goodness. Oh, well, hold on. Well, the pants of the Spanish one, I think, are probably the most powerful. There's some great character design here.
Yeah.
How on earth did I miss that there's an entire wolf pack now?
That's right. That's what they're calling
it. Wolf. KC Wolfington. KC Wolfgang. KC Labazo. I like KC Wolfgang a lot, too. This is powerful stuff.
Yeah, you now we got you. You're down a rabbit hole for the next hour, so you're
KC
welcome.
KC Wolfgang, and, they say, is as reliable as German engineering. Is that their description?
Also, he's a great chef.
Perfect. Perfect. That's Josh Briscoe. We'll be listening Sunday afternoon, of course. Pregame right here on 96.5 The Fan. Postgame right here on 96.5 The Fan. And we got to get Josh his first win. Got to get his first win. We can't be dropping below 500 by two games here.
Agreed.
As him as a pre- and postgame host for the Chiefs Radio Network. While we were talking to Briscoe, I don't know, I probably didn't come across on the air in the background, but a lady was very excited jumping up and down. She won one of the first pair of tickets for the Chiefs-Eagles game that Community America is giving away with their big ATM here at the Red Friday tailgate. If you're listening for the first time today, wondering where we're at, we're up north at the Community America Credit Union branch off 29 and 152 here in Tiffany Springs, the Market Center, Shopping Center in KCMO. Free food to the first 100 people. Chiefs cheerleaders, KC Wolf, chance to win some swag, chance to win tickets to the game on Sunday. All right, Drew, let's get to it.
Trash of the day.
This was our backup option yesterday. You guys wanted the beer, the mosquitoes, the sex, so we went with prison inmate today.
Oh, okay. Let's hear it.
Today, we go to Arizona. This is impressive, actually, I must say. So
normally it's me that's impressed by the crime.
I will say this.
You're impressed by the crime.
This is somewhat impressive. So there's a prison inmate who was behind bars with a rich history of filing fraudulent documents. All right. Well, this prison inmate was able to file documents showing a judge had signed off on his early release. He was sentenced to prison, though, until 2047 for kidnapping, resisting arrest, unlawful imprisonment. But he was released in June when three orders were filed in his case dismissing the charges. The clerk's office is now cooperating with the Arizona Attorney General and investigating how this happened. But this guy came up with fraudulent documents to get himself out of jail. What is that, 22 years early?
So he was in jail for forgery.
Mm-hmm. Wow. He has a history of that, but he was actually in jail for kidnapping and stuff. Ooh. So, yeah.
So, but he has a history of forgery and then forged his own documents and got out 22 years early? How long did it take him to realize
that he had gotten out?
Because that part interests me.
Yeah, I do not know. He got out two decades early, but I don't know. He was released in June. The story I'm just finding is September, so maybe a month or two, Cody? Maybe a month or two, because they're just now coming to light?
Pretty good.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm glad he's back behind bars, but...
here's the thing about jails. You got a lot of free time, Gold. But how do you get resources to...
That sentence right there, just isolate that, like... Cody, my goodness.
A lot of free time to be forging documents.
Cody, here's the thing about jail. Like as if just vast experience behind bars.
Not vast experience, but not zero. When you look at where that guy is, he probably had a lot of time to work on his forgery skills, you know?
Yeah. Oh, well, sure.
What kind of hobby would you pick up? Let's take out the obvious one, which is like, push-ups, weightlifting.
Yeah, I think I just try to get jacked.
I don't think they let you, but take that out. Needlepoint, you know, where they let you do that? Probably too sharp.
Yeah.
Will they let you, you know?
I probably just, honestly.
You can't pick up, like, woodwork. You can't pick up, like, big skills.
The thing that would pass the most time is the key. I think I honestly would start reading because that would
pass. When's the last time you read a full book? I read one, like, a month ago, so credit to me, I guess.
Let's try, maybe a year or two after college.
Woo! So, it's been a minute.
Like 10 plus years.
Reading is a good. That's a good one to pick up.
It's
that's
very
a good,
good
answer.
I'm not anti-reading. I've told you everybody's different. I can't just go home on a Thursday night and sit for 2.5 hours and read. I want to watch Thursday night football.
I mean, I imagine you can still do some of that in jail. You can still watch a football game occasionally.
I think so.
But reading.
Someone says I would become the tattoo artist. Oh, I can't draw. I can't draw worth it.
I wouldn't mind becoming the barber. Like if they would let me learn the hard way, I wouldn't mind figuring out. It feels like a nice thing to be able to do. Yeah. I wouldn't mind figuring out how to,
Drew, what's your answer?
Or the prison cook, right? I'm the guy who figures out how to, work out all the different kinds of ramen.
Well, you're not making Schipino in there, I'll tell you that.
No. Don't think so. Drew, what's the prison hobby you want to pick up?
I have no idea, but I would probably say, so I used to draw a little bit when I was younger, so I probably would try to find a way to get my hands on some paper to just sketch.
There's people who, to my understanding and watching some of these prison shows before, there's people who make money, doing sketches for people or drawing cards for their family or whatever, Drew. So that might actually be a good little prison sidekick for you.
Yeah, text line. If anybody knows about jail life, it's Cody. Good boy Gold has never seen the bars.
What a weird insult for you. Yeah, Gold, get to jail sometime.
You're right. You got me. Someone else says being daddy would be my prison hobby. Someone else says if they were locked up, they would study and attempt to pass the bar exam to be their own lawyer for an appeal. What a practical answer from Lance. Practical answer. That is the trash of the day. Up next, Chiefs Red Half Hour. Let's talk more about the two other offensive linemen that haven't maybe been discussed as much this week because of Juwan Taylor's penalties. And we'll also get back into what Matt Nagy had to say about Taylor right here on Cody.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more, plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Looking for jewelry that feels as good as it looks? Jenny Bird delivers modern designs that are comfortable, easy to wear, and effortlessly versatile. Every piece makes you feel instantly on trend without trying too hard. Need to send a gift they'll be sure to love? Jenny Bird ships fast, and the packaging is thoughtful too. Jenny Bird isn't just jewelry. It's your new favorite style essential. Explore more at jenny-bird.com and get 20% off your first purchase using code ONTREND20.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Chiefs Red Half Hour is brought to you by All Weather Decks, Kansas City's most respected deck builder. Check them out at allweatherdecks.net.
We're just getting started here up in Tiffany Springs, the Community America Credit Union, right off of 29 and 152. If you're familiar with the area, it's the Market Center in KC Mo. Free food for the first 100 people that are out here. We got a good crowd already. We're just getting started, as I said. We got till 1 o'clock today for the Red Friday tailgate. Chiefs cheerleaders are out here. We got KC Wolf taking photos with kids and everybody. We've got some Chiefs gear from Community America. They got their big ATM next to us that's spitting out some swag. And as
put
I
in a giant debit card, and then right. You punch in some numbers, and then they hand you something back, either swag or Chiefs Eagles tickets,
already,
all kinds of stuff.
Somebody did win. I believe they have others, but somebody won one pair already of the Chiefs Eagles tickets thanks to Community America.
Sounds
so it's
like
a great time
for a college football game.
Yeah, do you hear the rumble behind
us?
Yeah,
it's
love it.
Great.
Okay, I knew you would enjoy that. We were wondering if that was coming across the air or not. I was like, they were worried if it was going to be, you know, too loud. I'm like, no, we want the atmosphere to come through. Yeah, it's
feels like a Red Friday. You got KC Wolf here in a drum line.
Yeah, we'll talk some college football, Drew, in the 1 o'clock hour a little bit as we got some local games, but also some big time college matchups. You mentioned South Florida earlier in the week,
yeah,
and we learned a little bit about
the
their
Bulls.
Head coach. That's not named Alex Gold. And
Alex Golish.
Does not have brown hair, as you told us.
And is a ginger, even though yes. I don't think it's unfortunate if Drew does.
Yeah, Drew Drew had us with a nice drop earlier in the week. But let's talk some Chiefs football. You mentioned, Cody, it's the Chiefs Red Half Hour. The names that haven't been discussed as much this week on the O-line are Simmons and Kingsley, because so much has been focused on Juwan Taylor. Especially now after Matt Nagy yesterday said that, you know, we're letting him know that this is something that can't happen. So what are we expecting in game two from Kingsley and Simmons? Because, of course, the jury's still out on both. One guy is a rookie and then playing his second game in the NFL. And I told you, Josh Simmons was fine. Kingsley, at times in the run game, you would say was good, but doesn't matter if they're only going to run it 11 times. The touchdown that Travis Kelce had, even, he got completely blown up. So Kingsley is still the player that has the biggest, I actually think, question mark above his name, if you will, heading into Sunday. It's not Juwan Taylor. I know we're talking about him, but question mark, it is still Kingsley, even more than Josh Simmons for me.
I was kind of hoping we were going to get in that game, Gold. We were going to get a quarter in, and then I would just forget that Simmons and Kingsley existed, and I wouldn't have to pay attention to him. We could all just move on with a perfectly good or well above average is what I think they should be. I think they need to be one of the 5 to 7 best offensive lines in the NFL. And so my hope was that they would do that, and then we would, you know, not worry about it. I'll just tell you right now, it is one of the key things I'm watching in the game again. And Kingsley, was better than he was at tackle, but also had a couple of absolute air balls. And against Jalen Carter, look, if he holds up against the Phillies defensive line, and it's not as good as last year's Phillies defensive line, in my opinion, but it's still pretty good and one of the better ones in the NFL. I'll just tell you right now, if he holds up, I will start taking the offensive line a lot more serious, and we can focus on it. But right again, I'll be at the beginning of the game, seeing what Simmons does and seeing what Kingsley does. Now, I'll say, I don't remember who it was, Danan, and this has been pointed out a million times, but it's accurate. You have to sometimes remember that Mahomes does hurt his offensive line occasionally. Now, he also doesn't give up sacks because of that, because he's good at evading it and all this other stuff. But if you see a guy blow an assignment every once in a while, it is occasionally Mahomes did some wacky stuff that is not like a normal blocking.
But that's more on the more impacting the tackles, don't you think?
Yes.
Or am I off on that?
No,
that's more than
Kingsley
than it would be for your guard. I'm not saying it's never impacted the guards, but we're more talking about what it means for Juwan Taylor when Mahomes maybe does that, or what it means for, in this case, Josh Simmons as well. It's another great test. We said preseason, we were going through the schedule. You know, how long is it going to take to get questions answered and all that, and find out the competition that they're going up against and everything like that. Week one was a pretty good front. This is a great front. Next week, I would argue, maybe even is Jalen Carter's the best defender in the interior they're going to face, but the Giants' front next week is maybe one of the best in football. And then you get a little reprieve, maybe.
Against Jacksonville, there's not as
good. Baltimore's mixed in there. The Lions, Aiden Hutchinson's a problem. By then, he's also more and more games removed from his injury a year ago. So
really
this is
good.
Something that, like, I will say, you're getting thrown in the fire right away. But also, this is the NFL. That's how it works.
Yeah, and we all knew that the more difficult part of the schedule is front-loaded. Drew, I didn't know if you caught that Briscoe mentioned the same thing you mentioned, which is there's a real world in which they're 5-5 and finish 12-5, knowing that this is the circumstance.
You.
It's more likely now, in fairness,
Drew,
you said that.
He wouldn't make the bet last week. He should have.
It's more likely now that Xavier Worthy is also absent.
Of course.
But like, I don't know, man. I told you where my percentage was, and it hasn't changed. I haven't gone up or down on what chance I think Xavier Worthy actually plays on Sunday. I think it's more probably gamesmanship.
1%.
That they are messing around with the idea of making the Eagles prepare for it. But the offensive line thing, man, that's not a storyline that's going away this year. Because now they really need it. Because Mahomes has time to get the ball to Hollywood Brown, Tyquan Thornton. He might need more time than to get to Xavier Worthy or Rashee Rice or anyone else until they're back. Man, I am. Aren't you fascinated now? I want to see this offense with Rashee Rice. I can't wait these 5 weeks. I cannot wait till the 5 weeks are gone and the whole offense. Because now it does appear, we asked the question after the game, are we ever going to see this offense together? If Hollywood stays healthy for the next 5 weeks, well, then we got a much better chance.
Knocking on wood for that.
Yeah, we got a much better chance at that, because it looks like Xavier Worthy's injury is not less serious, but it's going to hold him out less time. We all agree to that, right? The timeline of what we originally thought when he got hurt and left the game is shortened from
because the season was on the table. And there is still a chance that he plays and unfortunately re-aggravates, and that's surgery would have to happen. Now, surgery in the offseason is going to happen anyway, it sounds like, for something like this. But, yeah, I'm with you that this is essentially best-case scenario timeline-wise for Xavier Worthy, whether he plays next week or not. If he plays in 2 weeks from now, that is still best case scenario, right? There's a chance it's next week, but the fact that it could only be a two-game absence would be massive, considering the issues that we know this offense had last week, and frankly the issues we saw with this offense a season ago. How much do you – I told you yesterday, how much do you look at the – hey, it's the Super Bowl rematch part of it now. Is it less because of the loss to the Chargers? Like, I think if the Chiefs would have beat the Chargers, we would be way more rematch, revenge, tour, all this. Now it's just about, like, get yourself right. It just so happens it's the Philadelphia Eagles. Or am I off on that? I know fans, we want to look at games and revenge and everything like that, but I don't know about you. I don't view it as much of a revenge anymore. It's like, show me that you got some things corrected.
Yeah.
You need a win, sure, but it's not even – the excitement of playing the Eagles would have been far more if they would have won. It would have been
now it's about,
like,
how are you without Worthy? Can you? Yeah, it's more about the team now.
Yeah.
You're right. Had they both started 1-0 and Worthy was healthy, this would have come into and be like, you got to fight him back. Punch him back a little bit. And I get it. You can't get full revenge in a regular season game to go with it. But, it would have been more about that. Now I'm in survival mode.
Mm.
For the same, it's survival time. It is not the same as it was before, and certainly viewing this thing significantly different than I did before. Now, the reason why we didn't talk as much Simmons and Kingsley, as we were planning on this week, is because Juwan Taylor has been an issue. Listen again to what Matt Nagy said yesterday in his press availability about where Juwan Taylor is and what they now expect out of him. Do we have that clip, Drew?
I'm sorry. I was talking to somebody.
Can you play the clip of Matt Nagy talking about what Juwan Taylor needs to do now and how they understand that the penalties just can't happen?
Speaking to the obvious, the penalties that can't happen, and so that's where we're at. We've made it loud and clear. Juwan knows that. He understands it. It's something that, especially in a moment like that in that game when things are a little bit off kilter now with the personnel, and you start to move the ball, you have a couple positive plays, and then boom, a penalty or a second. You know, so three penalties and a hold, not good enough. He knows that. When there's no one hiding from it, he's not hiding from it. He understands what's expected, and I think he's ready for that challenge here as we go.
Yeah, I just think it's a different scenario now. They can say that publicly now.
I think they're putting them on watch.
Because they actually have a legitimate option. We appreciate that. They have a legitimate option as Jalen Moore sits there, you know. And Jalen Moore, financially as well, is in the position where next year he's probably your right tackle anyway. So it would be easier if this thing continues to perform, this O-line continues to perform the way they're at, that you could make that switch and say, all right, well, we're setting ourselves up for next season as well, on top of also maybe improving. But I told you, I think, you know, anybody thinking after one more game they're going to pull the plug on Juwan Taylor, I don't see it. I think they're going to give him the first month of the season at least.
But this will be something anybody who doesn't work in like a radio job or whatever can relate to. You know what just happened with Juwan Taylor? He was just put on a PIP. He's at his old corporate job, Golden. He got put on the PIP, the old performance improvement plan. Hey, listen, so there's some things we're seeing with your performance at work, and, you know, we'd hate to have to find somebody else who could do your job, but you're on the PIP moving forward. And that doesn't mean you get fired right away. That's not a one-week thing, man. That's the end of the quarter. We'll talk to you at the end of the quarter, and if these numbers aren't improving, then we might have to get into this. The real question is what I think will be the straw. One is, I think Jalen Moore is waiting in the wings for who does worse, Kingsley or Juwan Taylor. So I don't think it's just Juwan's job he's coming after. I think Kingsley's job is also up in the air, at least at the moment. But I think it's like they're waiting for it to be a back-breaking moment. Gold, if we get into a game, let's say they're 2-1, they win the Eagles, they win the Giants game, and they get into that Ravens game, and it's a big-time moment, and Patrick Mahomes does some trickery or just throws a dart for a game-winning touchdown against the Ravens, and it's holding Juwan Taylor, number 74, or it's that to make him go 0-2 this week. The only way I think it happens sooner, as in the next month, is if it is a critical moment in a critical game, and he is the reason we feel like when we come in on a Monday.
Right.
Juwan Taylor costing that football game, and unbelievable. That's when I feel like it could happen quicker.
Yeah.
Not likely, but could happen quicker.
But I will say this. You know, when you're a veteran coach and you've won as much as Andy has, and you got a veteran staff that's been together for as long as they have, I don't think they are, and nor should they in most cases, you know, going to cave to any public pressure that is out there to make a switch, right? Like, remember how loyal they were to Kadarius Toney for a while? And that guy wasn't drafted by them, even though, you know, Sky Moore was drafted by them, and they gave him every single opportunity. I think the game-changing thing here, as I said, is that they have a real option, we think, behind him. But with that said, they're not going to embarrass a veteran player. They're just not, someone that has actually won a Super Bowl with this organization as well. I'm not disagreeing with anybody out there that says, hey man, I'm sick of it. This is ridiculous. Figure it out.
Who's arguing that?
You've been with the organization since 2023. You've had multiple off seasons to correct these issues and all that. They had no better option than you in the last year or so. And so this time around, if it becomes holding left and right, which is basically going to happen, Cody, because that's who he's been. We're not going to go a month without saying that was a terrible holding call that set back a drive or a false start. The microscope is on him, not just from the NFL false start stuff, but from fans. I mean, he could play great all game long on Sunday. And then on the final drive of the game in which they got to have it, he has a crucial holding call, and nobody cares what happened the rest of the game.
Nope.
So
he can play a perfect football game for three quarters. He put himself in that spot, by the way. We didn't create a narrative around it. He is the most penalized player in the NFL for the third consecutive year.
So what's your, like right now, heading into the game, what's your guess then? Both, one answer is what you think the team's going to do and what you would do. I think the team is going to give them the first month of the season at minimum.
I agree.
I would say if this game leads to three or four penalties and, as you said, a crucial drive, I'd be willing to go to Jalen Moore next week. I am not a fan of making the switch in-game. I don't think that does any good for anybody involved.
If it looks exactly like week one, you have to bench him. Because at that point, it's the yips. It's nothing more than that. And I don't know how we don't call it that for offensive lineman gold. What else is it? You get called for back-to-back weeks of four penalties.
Just who he is. I mean, just like, who he is as a football player. That's how he plays. He was this way in Jacksonville.
But, like, that's even beyond, though. Like, that's an even higher number than statistical at that point. And, yeah, I would go to that. Now, look, you run into a real problem if Kingsley gets killed. If Kingsley gets killed, then you have to choose to replace.
Well, Caliendo,
which one? You know, you're not benching both guys. Man, that would
no,
be
that's
a, bleak,
a mess too.
That'd be a bleak look of Brett Veach's offensive line offseason. What were we saying, Drew?
I'm going to be honest. Is it fair to let's say I don't know the third quarter, fourth quarter? There's a big play that's made, and Juwan Taylor has had some issues throughout the game. He commits a penalty, and they're going into the fourth quarter down by 10, and they don't make the move. Is it fair to say that, to point all the fingers at Andy Reid as this continues to happen of, dude, you're the one that's not making this decision? Because if it's just a, we're not going to embarrass a veteran, but we're losing a game because of him, you have to point the finger at the head coach to me if they lose the game then at that point. Because if he's costing you points, you have to look at Andy Reid and say, why are you not making a move? Is it, and if it's because you don't want to embarrass the guy, I'm sorry, you got to win football games. When and if you got to bench him, you got to bench him.
Here's an interesting question I've actually got for the way that it looks for the Chiefs. Gold, we had mentioned this kind of, like, maybe even in passing a little bit. What kind of game do you think the Chiefs want this to be? You know, we always talk about, like, oh, you got to play your game. What do the Chiefs actually want this game to look like? Do they want low scoring? Do they want a game? Like, would they prefer a game in
That's
the teens?
That's how they need to win, Cody.
Would they prefer a game in the low 20s? Or do they think like mid-20s to lower 30s is an okay range for them? Because do they want us to be a large time of possession, long drive? Because we talk about this all the time. Teams try to play their style against the Chiefs and fail a lot of times. But
I don't think it bodes well if you tell me, based on the final score, if you tell me this game is 38-31, 38-35, I think the Chiefs are losing. You can save that bite. I hope I'm wrong if that's the outcome. I think it needs to be 24-21, 24-20, 21-17. I think it needs to be that style of game against an Eagles team that has such a good defensive front, against the Chiefs defense that last week, of course, had guys running on them all over, wide open on routes. So if all of a sudden you told me it was a low-scoring game, that would also just make me think that the defense improved drastically.
Yeah, I mean, I really do wonder whether or not – I was trying to decide what style of game I thought they want to play. I'll say this. I don't think they want to get in a shootout with the Eagles. I don't think they want A.J. Brown running up and down the field, Devonta Smith running up and down the field, and them being forced to get in a shootout. Like, that is a position more often than not they used to be comfortable in. I do not think that that's a position that they want to be comfortable in or would be comfortable in. I think, like, mid to low 20s would be fine for them.
913-586-7965 is the Jay Southland Tow Service text line. Someone was mentioning, you know, going back to even the Juwan Taylor stuff, but it goes into how we think the game has to go, that he's dealing with too much pressure. No person can perform under this pressure. I'll tell you, he's played in Super Bowls. He's been a pro. He's 26, 27 years old. I'm not saying he doesn't have pressure. I think he absolutely has pressure. But, like, this, you can't expect him to perform now as if it's the outside's fault that he's dealing with pressure. I mean, this is the NFL. This is how it goes, man. You're starting tackle for an NFL team that has Patrick Mahomes that have gotten to Super Bowls. I mean, this is the pressure that you deal with. Now, is he under the microscope more than ever from fans? Yeah, I think that's true. I'm sure he probably doesn't feel great being in this spot, but also it's his job to still go out and perform. That's how he handles that. I'm not saying it's not challenging, but like, no, he has to. If that's the case, if it's true what you said, which is, hey, he won't be able to perform under this pressure, well, then he won't have a starting job in a few weeks.
And honestly, I don't want him in there if he can't handle it. Like, I mean, legitimately. If he's like, it's too much pressure that you're putting on me because I'm doing a bad job, well, then good. Then it's time to move on to Jalen Moore, and we'll see you next time, you know? So much of it is like, some players don't have to play in pressure moments. We talk about this like it comes to baseball playoffs or NFL playoffs and all this other stuff. The real test is when you can. And typically, that pressure doesn't start till the playoffs. But for Juwan Taylor, who they did threaten a little bit, job for the first time since signing a deal with the Chiefs and coming over to Kansas City. They're going to have to make those decisions based on that. Yeah, I was just – the more I think about the game, the more I'm just like, what do they want? What do the Chiefs want this game to look like?
Like, you know, 17, 20 –
24-21 might be a dream game for them.
Yeah, like, spoiler, I think the social media video will be out later, you know, like – I'm in that. I'm thinking 24.
You're in that range.
I'm thinking 24-20.
I'm in that range
from
too,
a score.
Honestly,
the Chiefs, of course, are 1.5-point underdogs. Just if we're talking about in the betting markets and things like that as well. Side story for this game on Sunday. Did you see what was the hot topic on social media last night? That the Chiefs sounds like going to have a different PA announcer on Sunday. So Dale Carter, not the Chiefs corner.
That would be way fascinating.
Different Dale Carter, longtime radio voice and PA voice of the Chiefs, radio voice in Kansas City, that is, and PA announcer for the Chiefs. He posted on his Facebook, and now multiple outlets have picked it up and stuff, that he's resigned just 2 days before the start of the season. I'll be honest, we don't know the whole details. We don't know what transpired. He mentions in his post that there was a, quote, red line that was crossed. Basically, it sounds like something they asked him to do that he did not want to do.
Sure.
Whether that is a way he goes about pumping up the crowd, his third, it's third down. I don't know, right?
It's something you're, like you're that. Used to it. It is it like is, an audio trigger.
Yeah, that's good for a Kansas City Chiefs first down. That stuff, I don't know. I don't know what it is, but it'll sound a little weird. For those that have season tickets, if you go to a game once every 5 years, you're not going to notice a difference. If you have season tickets or you go to games every week or multiple times a year, you'll be like, wow, that voice sounds different, because Dale Carter has been the voice of the stadium for many, many years.
Yeah, not your entire childhood, right? Eight-year-old
Alex listened
to somebody else.
Right. When Scott Pioli came in, I think, maybe I'm off on my time, I feel like that's when they changed. Maybe it was a few years before. I feel like that's when the PAs and the in-stadium stuff changed quite a bit.
Here's the truth. For one game, it'll sound weird, and then any other game after that, I won't notice.
You'll get used to it.
And this is not like a knock on him. It's congrats to him on a hell of a career doing it and being in that role.
He's running for public office in the area, too.
You know, just like me for future school board, you know? Well, I have to quit this show if I run for school board, or you
that's
guys
would
be doing both?
No, that's not why. He still has another job. I mean, this was something that he did for 16 years, I think it was.
Would you do it?
Of course.
Would you do it? If they offered you the PA announcer
guy? That's never happening.
Let me hear your audition tape.
Here's the thing. You can't do the same stuff the guy before you did.
Oh, yeah.
You can't do the same.
You got your own flavor. It's like being an ump.
You can't do the same. It's third down. You can't do the same thing. You can't do that. That's his thing.
I'll tell you right now, I got the worst voice on the planet for that job.
I did PA for arena football, Cody, for a year and a half for a defunct arena football team. Now, they were the Kansas City Renegades. And the league folded very quickly. And I did PA at Kemper Arena for about a year. And then I did PA for like two games for KU Volleyball as our tent. Sorry, my voice raised there, because our tent almost flew away. Cody, you almost had to go catch it again.
I was not ready for that moment. It was not my time to shine.
Yeah, PA is a much different thing than a sports radio voice or even, you know, a play-by-play voice. It's a more distinct sound you got
to
have.
Look, I'm not afraid to admit what others have pointed out. I do not have what most people would call the traditional radio voice. I don't sound like our guy B-Dub, right? I don't have the silky tones of an old school radio guy. And to be a PA guy like Mike McCarthy, who's not forever for the Royals.
Maybe though, I wonder if they would ask him to.
You know, I don't.
To do it.
I know, but there's some double dipping, right?
But not now. The season's about to be over.
Sure. He might be able to cover for the rest of the year, but then I don't think that's a like you can do both kind of situation. I think you got to either do it or do it. What's anything like that pay? What do you think? It's gig work?
Oh,
pay a few hundred dollars per game?
No.
What do you think that pays? $500 per game? Now I'm genuinely curious. Oh man, what does that pay? My guess is like $500 a game. What's your guess, Drew? What do you think they pay the Chiefs PA guy? $300 to $500 a game?
No, they pay more than that.
You think so?
It's the NFL.
That's way more than that, but I don't know what the rate is.
It's way more than $500 a game?
I bet you it's at least a stipend I would say at least $1,500 a game.
Dang!
Well then I might. Your boy's about to audition. Forget my voice for a second. I'm about to try back out. $1,500. I'm going to a lot of Chiefs games anyway most of the time. You know, get me in on that if that's the price. I'm just trying to remember, like, you know what? Gold, I don't think I've ever done any PBA work. I don't even have, like, I don't even have your Topeka connections, you know? I don't think I've done it for any job.
So, someone on the text line making the classic radio jokes about faces for radio. Never heard that one before. That's a first.
I don't know, man. I'm not the ugliest person. So, you know, for what it's worth, 918. Like, radio, say that makes me sound like I'm, like, you know, this Phantom of the Opera. I got to wear a mask out in public.
Dang. We had the ratings that listeners compiled. We were one of the best looking mid-market midday shows. Yeah, mid-market midday shows in the country.
We were like, I thought third best, honestly, once we looked through the list.
Yeah, we were the third best looking midday show.
Brandon Kyler, who used to work here, that's a handsome midday show in St. Louis.
I don't think he's in middays anymore, is he?
Okay, well, he was. At the time, that was one of the ones that was that was costing us.
Up next.
Hey, we've moved up. Maybe we're number two.
Someone texted me with, the reason maybe why they made a change. Okay, good to know. I don't know if I can share that information on air or not. Up next, we will get to what's trending. And then Matt McMullen, Chiefs reporter, going to join us. He's going to join us once a month or so throughout the football season. We'll also react a little bit to what he had to say. And is there a fear about a certain player after Sunday? We'll tell you who it is next.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and sugar-free. First-round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
A message from a former New Yorker presented by Street Easy.
What I miss most about New York City, I miss the life, I miss the culture, and just stuff to do, just stuff.
I miss being able to walk everywhere. I miss the bodegas. I miss everything about New York.
I miss everything. I miss the city, big time.
Let me know you get this. Love you, bye.
Get the local expertise you need to never become a former New Yorker. Go to StreetEasy.com to get started. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Incorporated, which has licenses in all 50 states.